Zach Banner today on Twitter said the following. A lady between the age of 35 to 65 pinched my right butt cheek at get-go this morning, and I don't know what to do. Then, an hour later, said, okay, I realize the age range is crazy, but listen. She was fit and athletic, but had a mask and a sweater on with yoga pants and some chucks on. But the hair is the tricky part. It was brittle and damaged. So we either got a younger lady with bad hair products or a mega cougar.
No, he specifically in all caps wrote mega coug, which might become like new slang. Like the first mention I see is from somebody saying she's going to change her Twitter handle to mega coug.
A public butt cheek pinch?
Yeah, you don't. I mean, if we're going to say that's bad if a dude does it, and it is, isn't it bad if a woman does it? I mean, it doesn't sound like Zach was bothered by this. Sounds like he's trying to decide how old she was, but I can't ever imagine being in a mind space where I would pinch someone else's butt cheek in public.
I can honestly tell you, fine. This might come as a surprise, but it's never happened to me.
Never had the butt pinched?
No.
Nah, neither have I. Not, I have not had a total stranger pinch my rear end.
How about someone that you were close to?
I think, yeah, probably at some point.
Why? What's the...
I don't know. I could imagine, like, at some point in the past, like, you're in a store.
Alex
like, you
would
run
just pinch your ass
store.
Just for fun?
Probably just something along those lines. I don't know if that definitely
to
would happen.
To get, like, the romantic temperature turned up? Like, what's...
No, just as, like, a joke. And then maybe it could get the romantic
Craig?
Temperature turned up.
Are you...
But it's usually...
Are
it
you
would
tracking
be done with
this?
A grin.
I don't even know what to make of this. I thought the first segment was in a direction I didn't expect to go. But talking
How
about
does,
the
man,
Mueller
he's
family
got a
butt pinching...
Hold on, though. This is the thing. Zach's a pretty perceptive guy. He's really torn about the age range being potentially 25 years?
Yeah, 35 to 60.
To me, the chucks are the giveaway that this is the
Chris,
bad hair products.
Chris, what's it say about us that we're
person.
In this age group now? We're part of it, the 35 to 60 club.
You don't want to be in that club. But you are. I don't know. You're as young as you feel. I mean, you really are. My dad's in his late 60s, and he ran his first half marathon when he was like 65 or 66.
Zach is such a big guy. Imagine having the balls to do
what if
something
she had
like
to,
that.
What if she had to reach up to pinch the cheek because he's so tall?
God.
I just can't imagine. I'm serious, though.
I know
the
you are. And Craig,
the most,
Craig is so distracted right
it.
Now because... He's reading about Jacob Stallings and Chris Stratton avoiding arbitration, and his mind is now falling down the
Craig is thinking about Wilmer Defoe. When are they signing Wilmer DeFriend, Craig?
And like the other Polanco that they just signed for a lot of money, 16-year-old Polanco.
How is it Shaleen?
I don't know.
Shaleen Polanco? I probably should know. I should
no wonder why
YouTube
Rob is giving us... The cold shoulder here. He doesn't want to be.
No, he's on now.
He's on hold?
Yeah.
He's heard
him.
All of this?
I had him, then I lost him. Now he's back again. He even just texted me. Do they know I'm on?
He heard the pinched butt conversation?
Oh, yeah.
We subjected Rob
well,
to
I
that?
I don't know when we lost him.
Rob,
on
did
the
you
line.
Hear all the pinched butt stuff?
You know, I thought you guys, I think you guys deserve great credit to really steer away from the skid that was the Matheson CC debut the other night by injecting this type of humor. But I got to tell you, at some point it turned weird.
Where was it? When Chris said that there it did get the romantic juices flowing, the pinched butt? Was that?
I think it was when you guys went down that route. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been. I also think it might have been when somebody suggested imagining having the balls to pinch his butt.
Hey, Rob, how long have you covered sports in Pittsburgh professionally, like gotten a paycheck for it?
So this encompasses days,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, my first professional paycheck was with the Associated Press when I was 16, so I'm 42. So, yeah, I don't know. How long is that? 26 years?
You went to West Virginia. We'll do it for you. Yep, 26.
no, I was in high school
wow.
then, but thank you.
You're welcome.
Probably could have gotten into West Virginia at 16, though, given the standards back then.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Somewhere Amanda Filippone is planning two beatdowns.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no. It's a much better school than when I first went there.
Well, that's because you went there. You were like like a coup from an academic standpoint. It was like landing a big recruit.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah.
Yeah, Rob was the Major Harris of the communications school there. In all of your – so that's more than two decades.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything like the Steelers' situation with Ben Roethlisberger, and what do you think they should do and what do you think they will do?
I have to say, in a bit of ignorance, if anything has happened today, I'm unaware.
It's not.
But I think – I guess my – oh, jeez, it's tough. I try to look at this through the prism of, like, what would happen with a Crosby or a Malkin, because it's the only thing I can compare it to. No, I've never seen anything like it. Probably the closest is with Troy Polamalu, but I think that's different because I think they wanted him to retire because they were worried for his safety. I don't think you cut Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think you let Ben Roethlisberger play for another team. But I think if you want Ben Roethlisberger to retire, you don't subtly try to egg him out the door by firing the people that he would like to have back, even if it's deserved. I'm not around that team. I don't know what the offensive coordinator had to do with the offensive struggles this year. But it's hard for me to believe that even the Steelers don't see that the one thing they've lacked as an organization, and you could argue that over the past 50 years, they're as great an organization as there's been in sports in terms of on the field and off the field sort of magic. The one thing they haven't had is a franchise quarterback who has a good relationship with the team post-career. And whatever you think of Ben Roethlisberger, I know people come down one way or the other, Ben Roethlisberger has clearly embraced being a Steeler, and I think it's very important for that franchise to make sure that when Ben Roethlisberger isn't playing any longer, that that's something they can have the annual Ben Roethlisberger love fest, because they don't have it with Terry Bradshaw.
You are giving an answer that is succeeding and pissing Mueller off. I just want you to know that, Rob. I don't know if that was your intent.
I've been pretty silent here, more like a pot boiling, coming up to a boil very slowly.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you guys brought me on to talk about hockey, and since then it's been about pinching butts and Ben Roethlisberger. So, I mean, I got to feel like, you know, with all due respect, Chris, I don't care if you're upset.
I blame Boney for this. I mean, it is better than talking Matheson, but apparently they've already seen enough of him on the second pair, huh?
Well, yeah, I think eventually that's where they want Matheson to be with Marino. And I think when you look at sort of Matheson's game when it's at its best, that makes sense. But I think it was a little bit too much too soon for him there. I attribute Matheson's struggles the other night very much to A, there hasn't been a lot of practice time, and B, he was trying to play outside of himself just enough where it got him into trouble. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the guy is going to be the second coming of any great player, but I think he's a much better player than we saw. And CeCe, on the other hand, who doesn't look like he's going to be in the lineup tonight, and they're going to go with Ruedel. I thought Ruedel should have been the guy they went with from the beginning of the year. I didn't see a need to sign CeCe. I don't think he fits what they want to do very well. And honestly, if Cody Ceci wasn't here and Yusa Rikola hadn't been re-signed, which remains a really puzzling decision, given that the coach doesn't seem to really trust him, I think we'd have seen the path cleared for P.O. Joseph. And I'll say this, I caution people. He's not the next Chris Letang. He might not be the next John Marino, but he's going to be a good player in this league. And I would argue there'll be a better team in 2 months if he's in the lineup right now, learning and consistently practicing with the regulars and under the tutelage of Todd Reirden. So, but I understand why they're not doing it, because they got two guys blocking them.
Rob, I'll watch tonight. I'll sit down and watch the home opener on Sunday without fans, which will suck. But, I can't, try do your best maybe to talk me out of this. I can't help but think we just watched a football team that Super Bowl window is pretty much slammed shut, finish its season, and we're just immediately transitioning into another team that is pretending, masquerading around as a real Stanley Cup contender, and their window is either slammed shut too or barely cracked open.
Well, I disagree with that because I think this year, particular in the NHL, is very unpredictable. I also think this division is a lot different than we thought it would be. You know, Washington's also older. I think the Flyers, you can probably make a case the Flyers are the best team in the division. Penguins handled them pretty well for two periods. Now, third period didn't go their way, but, I mean, I saw a lot of good from the Penguins. I don't think their window's closed yet. I don't know that they are I don't know that I'd put them in the status of a legit contender. I mean, of course, I picked them to win the Stanley Cup, so what the hell do I know?
I was just going to say, like, that would be a hell of a thing here suddenly.
Well, but here's my thing about this season. I think if you get into the playoffs this year, you're a Stanley Cup threat for this reason. There's no path that we're going to know for any of the playoff teams other than who you might play in the second round. The conference final is going to go based off of, you know, the highest remaining point seed playing the lowest remaining point seed and then 2 and 3. And we don't know that there will be fans in the building. In a short season like this, if they can get in, I think they have a shot, a real shot. But, you know, that requires them getting in, and I still think that's going to be the biggest challenge because the division is good. I just don't think it's as dominant as it's been. I don't think they're where the Steelers are for this reason, too. I think we'll know pretty quickly, you know, within the first month, if the Penguins are good. With the Steelers, I think, again, I wasn't covering them. And I'll be honest, like, what I watched of their games is probably less attuned than most. But I think if you go back and look, we can probably say some of their victories in the middle of the season were sort of like coin flip games. They figured out how to win, mm-hmm. and then they stopped winning those games. And maybe that caught up with them more than anything. But certainly the days of them being a dominant team in terms of being able to sort of the Penguins this being the days of 2016-17 are gone. They're going to need to have a postseason run similar to what the Dallas Stars did and hope that if they get there, their stars, no pun intended, can carry them over the finish.
So just fire the coach and play the backup goaltender is the solution there, is what you're...
Well, the first part's worked for a couple cups in this team's history.
I'm not saying that, but guys, let's look at, you know, let's consider that the St. Louis Blues went from last place in January, the year they won the Stanley Cup, and ended up winning in 7 games against Boston. Last year, it's a weird year. Nobody thought the Dallas Stars were going to go there. This league has seen, after the run of the Penguins and the Capitals, mm-hmm. That's when you had really great teams in the regular season show themselves in the postseason. And this happens in this league. You see that happen, and then you see the league kind of have these champions, and you kind of go, oh, I didn't see that coming. Now, maybe you could say that Tampa Bay had been building up to that, but let's not forget, you know, Tampa Bay last year, they had been the best team in hockey probably the year before. But, you know, last year when they won, they didn't have to deal with things like crowds or, media from the outside bringing up that they never – they never won a playoff series of consequence before that. So, I mean, I just think the league this year is very unique, and it would be dangerous to write off the Penguins. But the toughest part for any team in this East is going to be getting to the playoffs and getting through the East.
At Real Rob Rossi on Twitter and in The Athletic and with us on things like Big Ben, Big Butts, and Big Hopes for the Penguins.
Well, I'll say this, guys. I've never had my butt pinched, but I have had beer thrown in my face twice by somebody's girlfriend who didn't like that the way I made her boyfriend feel after Penguin games. So that's something.
What?
Yeah,
names?
Happened to me twice.
Names?
I don't even know them. They were strangers.
Oh.
Like it was.
Man, that's a damn nearest Rob.
My God.
Oh, I hope Tommy.
Wait, on two separate occasions,
that's
and it wasn't the same
superhero.
People.
That's superhuman power by you.
I don't even know who they were to this day. Oh.
So wait, was the woman's boyfriend like talking to you about the team and you weren't saying things he wanted to hear and he got upset?
It might have been a case of the woman's boyfriend talking to me about the team. Me, in a maybe less than nice way, saying something in the lines of, buddy, it's, you know, an hour or it's 2 hours after the game. I came in here to see my friends behind the bar. I don't want to talk about hockey. And him taking that as me being like a jerk and me being like, I don't come to your house after and talk about, you know, what it was like to, you know, work in your underwear all day in your basement. So just, no, I didn't say that to him. I'm just assuming that's what each of these guys did. But, you know, at the end of the day, his girlfriend was with him and they both had a little bit in them, it seemed like. And she took offense to me saying that he reads me and is always in a bad mood. And to which I said, then don't read me. And, you know, take care of your own problems at home. I don't want to talk to you.
You are just, you are absolutely a charmer.
Yeah.
You really are.
All right, Rob. Thanks for putting the West Virginia Broadcasting School or Journalism School on the map, whatever it is.
Hey, it was the Pearly Isaac Reed School of Journalism when I went. So,
and it's never been the same since.
Now.
Bye, Rob.
Bye.
Rob Rossi. Dare I say happy to hear his voice?
Rob is one of my absolute favorite people, and yet that story he related that happened to him twice at Smoke and Joe's is like the single least surprising thing I could have heard in that interview.